From Spark and Anvil and Figure Forge, this is Ripple in Chapter 1 of the Figure Forge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
At the edge of the still pond, a pond skater tween named Ripple crouched over a shallow pan of water and dropped in a single pebble. The rings spread out, one, then another, sliding across the surface toward a sketch she'd pinned to the far bank. It was a drawing of a girl mid-run, hair flung back. "Watch what the words do," Ripple said to the boy beside her. She tapped the sketch. "You could write, 'She is a storm.' Bold. It grabs the whole page." She let the ripple settle. "Or you could write, 'She runs like a storm.' Softer. Do you feel the difference?" The boy squinted. "The first one's louder." "The first one becomes the storm. The second one just points at it, like a ripple. It travels from the girl toward the storm, connects them for a second, and lets them both stay themselves." She dropped another pebble. The rings pushed out again, touching the drawing's edge without disturbing the paper. "That little word, like, is the whole trick. It keeps the two things separate and still lets them lean on each other. That's a simile, and it's my favorite quiet kind of magic." The boy watched the water go flat again, thinking.
Ripple had grown up reading ripples before she ever read words. Her family were ripple readers for the pond village. When a storm was coming or a stranger was crossing the far shallows, you could see it in the surface, long before you could see it in the sky, the way the patterns bent and doubled and hurried. Her grandmother taught her by pointing. "That ring means wind. That flutter means a heron landed. That double wave means someone's wading in." But the day Ripple remembered most was the day she tried to draw the pond and couldn't. She'd sat for hours trying to capture the water, and every line she made was wrong. The pond wasn't a flat blue disc. It wasn't a mirror, exactly. It wasn't glass. She felt a hot, frustrated tightness climb up her chest, the feeling of a thing sitting right there in front of you that you can't quite name. Her grandmother had settled beside her and looked at the drawing for a long time. "You keep trying to say the pond is something," she said gently, "but it isn't a mirror. It isn't glass. So every time you decide it is, you feel like you lied, and it makes you tight inside." Ripple had nodded, miserable. "So stop deciding what it is," her grandmother smiled. "Say what it's like. The water moves like a slow breath. It shines as bright as a coin held underwater. You don't have to trap it. You just have to point." She traced a ring on the surface. "A ripple never pretends to be the shore. It only reaches toward it." Ripple tried again. "The pond ripples like breathing, and the tightness let go all at once, because it was finally true."
She walked to Figure Forge at 12. Because a place that studied how to draw and describe the world ought to understand the gentlest way to compare one thing to another. Trope, the mentor who ran the studios, met her at the gate. Trope didn't ask her to prove she was clever. Trope asked one question: "What is a simile?" Ripple didn't answer with a speech. She knelt by the entrance fountain, dropped in a pebble, and watched the rings spread toward Trope's reflection on the far side. "That's it," she said, pointing at the moving water. "The pebble is one thing, your reflection is another. The ripple travels between them and connects them, using like or as, but it never makes them the same. Two things, still separate, held together for a moment by a soft comparison." Trope watched the last ring dissolve against the fountain's rim. "You belong here," Trope said.
Ripple's studio smelled of wet paper and pond water, and there was always a shallow pan on the workbench. A girl came in one afternoon, slumped and stuck, a half-finished drawing curled in her fist.
She'd been trying to describe her own character in the margin. "I wrote he is a mountain," she said. "But that's a lie. He's not a mountain. He's just big and quiet and steady. Now the sentence feels fake and I hate it." Ripple knew that hot, tight, I lied feeling. She'd felt it drawing the pond. "Come here." She dropped a pebble into the pan. "Where does the ripple go?" "Outward, toward the edge." "Does the pebble turn into the edge?" "No, they stay separate." "Right, so don't turn your friend into a mountain. Just let the comparison ripple toward one." Ripple slid the girl's pencil back to her. "Add one word. He is like a mountain, big, quiet, steady. Or he stands as steady as a mountain. Read it back." The girl scratched it in. Her shoulders dropped an inch. "It's true now. He's still him. I'm just pointing at the mountain." "That's the tell," Ripple said, tapping the water. "Like or as, those two little words are the signal flags. Spot them and you've found a simile every single time. Brave like a lion, light as a feather, quiet as a snowfall." She smiled. "A metaphor grabs and merges. A simile just reaches. Softer, sometimes truer. Both are good. They're only different." She flicked one more pebble in. "And you never have to lie to make something vivid. You only have to point." The girl laughed and drew three more rings around her character, just for the feeling of it.
Later, when the studio was quiet, the girl lingered at the door with one more question. She was gentler now. "When you use like instead of just saying it is," she asked, "doesn't it feel weaker? Like you're not brave enough to commit?" Ripple thought about the pond that wouldn't be a mirror, and the hot tightness that finally let go the moment she stopped forcing it. "It felt that way to me too, once," she admitted. "But then I noticed the softest comparison was the one that finally felt honest. I wasn't trapping the water into being something it wasn't. I was just standing beside it, pointing at what it reminded me of." She looked out at the still pond going gold in the evening light. There's a kind of relief in that. You don't have to decide a person is the whole storm. You can just say they move like one and let them stay themselves. The girl nodded slowly, and Ripple watched the stuck, tight look slide off her face, the same way years ago hers had loosened by the water. She didn't say the rest out loud, but she felt it, warm and settled as a pond after the last ring fades. The gentlest way to say a thing is sometimes the truest. You reach toward it, you don't swallow it, and everyone gets to stay exactly who they are.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Ripple. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.